Just a quick recap on what we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, or what we're going to look at, rather, did look at last week, and we'll look again next week. I wanted to start the year with a simple 1-2-3 of one word that represents the gospel, a one-word message, two words, and then three words. So this week it's onto the two words. But before we do that, what was the one word last week that we looked at?
Jesus,
wonderful. Great to hear that one word there nice and clearly. And somebody might be able to tell me why I've got the nativity cradle sitting here. Actually, I've got Jesus around the wrong way. Isn't it terrible? So I'll just rearrange my Jesus and put him where he's supposed to be. But there's a whole lot of tea towels all over him. Now, what was that about? Yes, Bill.
Well, he gets covered up.
He gets covered up with all of the things that get in the way. And I mentioned these are various things that may be our pet thing. They may be very important. Are you a Ford guy or a Holden guy? Now, that used to be a big deal many years ago. Not so much anymore, but you're probably one or the other. And if that gets in the way of witnessing or talking about Jesus, we have to be prepared to put that aside for the sake of it. Paul said, I've become all things to all men. Maybe you can find that, Cam. Not exactly sure where that is. I have to be very conscious as a pastor saying it's in the Bible somewhere. But somebody, Steve isn't here today, but somebody will know where that passage is. I've become all things to all men that I might win the more. Understanding that there's things he might not fully be into. A friend of mine said, I'm not sure whether I believe the earth is very old or very young, but if it's important to that person coming to faith, I'm probably going to go along with them. This wasn't a compromise about belief, but it was a secondary thing. And we had all these layers of things that get in the way, whether we believe global warming is or isn't happening, whether we want and support American politics or not, where we stand on a number of issues, important but not central. And because we are starting this year with the centrality of the gospel, Jesus being the center here, the cross representing in various places, actually all around the church today, understanding what it's about. So we looked last week at Jesus, and we spelt Jesus two ways. Can you remember the two ways we spelt Jesus? There was two words that we used to spell Jesus. What were those words?
Faith.
Forsaking all, I take him. Jesus is to have our faith in Jesus, forsaking all, I take him, explains to us who Jesus is to be. Not what he would be if I make up my Jesus, but an understanding biblically, he wants to have all of us. Forsaking all, I take him, which is a pretty big thing to understand. Thanks, Trish. There was one other word that we had before we move on today. Lord. And I said that love only requires decision. He is Lord when we choose to make him so. He is Lord anyway, don't get me wrong. But he is Lord when we have made that decision and said, I want you, Jesus, to be Lord of my life for all of my life, not just these in and out type occasions. Now, Will, are you feeling a bit lonely over there by yourself? You're okay? Oh, that's good. I'm a bit worried because you're there. Okay. Well, look, I'm going to give you a job shortly so you won't be lonely and give you some prominence here. So we've looked at the first one, which is Jesus, and understood the Lordship of Christ. We talked in the Bible. Lord is mentioned so many more times than Savior. And I'm conscious this morning I may be going to slightly contradict myself, but I want to explain that to you why I'm going to do that very shortly. But I'd like to turn to the passage that summarizes what we're looking at today, and it's a summary of the gospel. Now, you may not have thought of 2 Timothy 1:8 being a summary of the gospel, but I'd like to suggest that it speaks to not only these three words that we're going to mention over these 3 weeks. But I'd like to read that out together. It'll be up on the overhead. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and reading from verse 8 to verse 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed as preacher, an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, what I have committed to him, until that day. Let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word this morning, we thank you for the light and life it brings, for the exposing in our lives the things that maybe not quite on the track and the direction that you would be calling us. So Father, we pray that we would be prepared again to say, forsaking all, I take you, Lord Jesus, and understanding the decision we make day by day to make you Lord. Father, this summarizes in many ways the name of Jesus. Saviour, yes. Saviour initially, yes. And always, but first and foremost, Lord. So we come under your Lordship, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. And we thank you for your word to us, the word of God, which is you, the word made flesh. So Father, illuminate to us what it is you wish to show us from your word this morning. Amen. So we've had the one word, and that was obviously Jesus, well done. What could be two words that you could use if someone says, give me a very short sentence? So if there's a word, we've done that last week. A very short sentence. Is a sentence two words? Maybe it's I guess it could be a sub-sentence. Sorry? Ah, that's a lot. Yes, no wrong answers here, by the way. Just sing out. Wasn't what I was thinking, but that's very interesting. Because it's very close. Now, Jennifer's got a long way towards the two words I was going to mention today, and it's no wrong answer to sing out. Half of it was bang on, and the second half was very close. So, anyone else? Jesus died was...
Jesus saves.
Ah, thank you. Well, wonderful. Well, that was a lot quicker than last week, wasn't it? We had a few stabs last week, and it was lots of good words, you know. Jesus saves. Now, this is where I'm going to slightly contradict myself, because last week I said the salvation or the salvific component of what Jesus did was very small compared to his lordship. So the salvation part in one sense is very small. It's the initial sense and the very important sense, because unless we're saved, we don't then come under the lordship of Christ, but it is a choice that we have made. So today, and I said Jesus is spelt, you know, faith and Lord. Today I'm going to slightly contradict myself, and we're going to become what's known as soteriologists. Now, soteriology is the study of salvation. Very simple. I don't know why they don't call it salvationology, but it's called soteriology. And it's made up of a word that means understanding what it is, ology to study. But soteriology is the study of salvation. Now, you wouldn't think there was a whole study about it, but there are people who are theologians, yes, but specifically they are soteriologists. How does the salvation thing work? Why is it so important? When does it happen? How does it happen? Etc., etc. And if we become equipped, not only those of us who are going out, and many of us will be, many more than just the youth for our Easter outreach, but if we're to become equipped day to day to understand and explain the gospel that Jesus saves, we need to dabble a little bit in soteriology. So we're going to do a little bit of that this morning. Don't want to be too heavy or too involved, but I think you'll find this, well, I hope you'll pray and pray you'll find this helpful. So Jesus saves, I've suggested, and in fact June has suggested, I've confirmed, thank you June, that this is a two-word summary of the gospel. And we've considered our one-word summary. So Jesus is front and center, and also in our second two-word summary, Jesus saves. And where I'm going to slightly contradict myself, I've got another spelling of Jesus. Cam, if we could bring this up here. And I've suggested that Jesus is spelt Jesus exclusively. Let's go through this one here. Saves your, with a variant spelling there, sins. So we're going to understand a little bit about Jesus here by using his name. And it's a bit of a cheat using Jesus in the first letter as well. But nonetheless, I have Jesus exclusively saves your sins. What is an exclusive organization? What is that? Something that's exclusive. We think of what? Country club, men's club, sorry? Oh, exclusive brethren, thank you, yes, yep. Anything other that we think of when it's exclusive? We think of organizations which exclude by basis of their membership requirements those that are not part of it. And one of the sort of strange things that you might hear this morning is Christianity is exclusive. Now, in one sense, the salvation message is open to all and anyone can be included, but by choosing not to, we have excluded ourselves from the benefits. And one of the key benefits we read in Isaiah is where we talk about the benefits of the gospel. And one is he saves us from our sins. Jesus exclusively saves our sins. In other words, there is nobody else that saves our sins. We try and do it other ways. We try and find other things, our own abilities, our own strengths, etc. And you might be talking to people that live, I was reading up this week in preparation, impressive lives. I think you might know the people I'm referring to, that their life just seems to be on quite a few higher levels than maybe our own. They're financially doing very well, and their family's all doing this, and their health is wonderful, and they're fit and healthy and glowing, and their life just seems to be a few rungs above ours. And those people that live, let's say, impressive lives that we notice and observe in the media and other places are probably going to be fairly resistant to knowing that actually it's all about Jesus and he's the only one who can ultimately save them. Because as far as they're concerned, they're doing pretty well on their own. They've found that the right combination of connections and resourcing and education and whatever results in them actually doing pretty okay with providing their own secure destiny. They are very much the masters of their own destiny, or so they believe. And when we get to that situation that we say, I am in charge, even Christian pastors, even those of us in ministry can say, I'm ultimately working out the direction of this thing, this ministry, this church, this parachurch organization, something I'm involved with in ministry. We've actually said it's not Jesus exclusively, but actually it's a lot of me in there as well. But there is an exclusivity. Jesus exclusively saves your sins. And I want to talk about, as we understand this subject of soteriology, a little bit about how this works. So we're going to put Jesus front and center. We're just going to push him a little bit forward here. And I need four volunteers for a little thing I'm going to do this morning. You're going to represent the children's worker, the youth worker, and the parent, and the pastor. So if you figure you'd like to be one of those people, you won't have to say too much, but I need four people that can represent children's worker, youth worker, parent, and pastor. So when you decide who you are, just come up and take one of the four seats that are here. So we've got one person in no particular order, I might say, and come up and take your seats. It doesn't matter particularly which of those four it is, so don't all rush at once. And we want to have a children's worker, a youth worker, a parent, and a pastor. And if the parent, okay, wonderful. Parent here, so do we have a children's worker? Someone who could, children's worker, thank you. Youth worker, anybody, a youth worker who would like to represent that? Before I pick on anyone. Good, we've got a youth worker or pastor? Either or, that's wonderful. We're just a pastor. Who would like to be the pastor today? You don't have to preach, but thank you, Wendy. Wonderful. So what we've got here is our situation, our salvific context. And what we have here is the context where salvation can happen. Now, I'm actually going to use your weight initially. So what I want you to do is that we could sit on it, but it's easier if we just tie the corner around the chair. So could you tie a corner around your chair, all of you, and then we're going to pull it tight, because as well as being very wise youth workers, children's workers, just one should be fine, pastors and parents, don't take too much of it because I need as long as possible, if you could just to come back there, etc. These people are also the sea. Now that sounds rather strange thing, but it'll become clear in a second. Now what I want you to do, just tie the minimum you can, so I'll leave it as long as possible if we could. One's fine. One's fine. And now what we're going to do is we're going to pull our chairs back here. If you can just send off your chairs and make this as tight as possible. This, and then come forward in these two chairs here. This is now, this is in my mind, I planned this to work perfectly, but we've got a bit of a bulgy sea here, but let's imagine it's very rough. We'll go forward a fraction more, guys, if you wouldn't mind. That'd be lovely. Oh, so I love it when a plan comes together. It hasn't quite. This is supposed to be sort of, up and down. So imagine here is a sea, and these guys are going to be the sea. They're going to make it move up. Thank you. Take a bit of tension, move it up and down. What we've got here, we have four people involved in the process of salvation, and we need to have a salvation candidate. So in a second, we're going to be, where's Jono? So Jono is now going to be our salvation candidate. So Jono, I want you can't really jump into the sea. I want you to imagine Jono jumping into the sea. So mate, I might get you to go and just lie down under there. That'd be cool. So here is our salvation candidate. who is struggling because he is drowning in the sea. What is he going to do? He has these people around him that during the context of any particular setting, particularly in the Western world, will feed into his salvation, or we trust will feed into his salvation. Now, if we look at these people that are involved, we have the children's worker, the parent, and the youth worker, who all have quite a bit of involvement in the life of Jono. Because these are people that speak into his life through youth group, through children's work, and regularly as a parent. Now, the parent may or may not be Christian, and so there may be positive or negative influences as far as that go. But if we think of these influences here, we're going to do the life of Jono shortly when we do this thing in 75 seconds, representing 75 years. If we were to do that, we would notice after 18 seconds that these three would be out of the picture. Obviously, the parents are not out of the picture completely, but their influence, maybe even well before that. So if we were to count through 75 seconds, after about 7 or 8 seconds, Bill would disappear. And then after probably age 17 or 18, we would see Leanne disappear representing youth, and Sandra would sort of be in and out of the scene as it were representing the parent. Pastors hanging around for hopefully the duration type of thing. So here we have a situation where Jono's, how are you doing there, John? Are you breathing okay?
Yeah.
Now, Jono has been now underwater for how long?
Long time.
Long time. So he's calling out, though he does not know it, he is calling out for salvation. So you need to make some guggling noises or whatever, etc. Save me.
Save me.
Save me. Now, you can't normally hear him under the ground, under the water, but we have to imagine that it's going. So say it in a gluggy voice, like, you know.
Help me.
Yeah, right. So he needs to be saved. So, okay, guys, what are you going to tell him as far as salvation goes? Starting with the children's worker.
Trust in Jesus.
Okay.
Right, that wasn't the response I was saying. Trust in Jesus. Do you know what that means?
No.
No, doesn't know what it means, sorry. Remember, children, so really, really simple. Bit tricky. Okay, we'll move on to youth because the clock is ticking. Already had the 7 seconds, and we'll move on to the youth.
Let Jesus into your heart.
Do you know what that means?
No.
No, okay, sorry, you had your time. Go and sit down. Thanks, Bill. So we've done our youth ministry, a children's ministry, onto the youth ministry. You've got another 9 seconds. So what are you going to say to Jono?
There is nothing that you will ever do that is bad enough to keep you away from the love of the Lord.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. So, what would you do with that, Jono?
I think that's quite good.
Well, what do you do with it?
I remember it.
You remember it. Okay, so he remembers it. Sorry, your time's up. Go and sit down, please, Leanne. And Mum, you're trying to say the odd thing, etc. So Jono is still sitting here saying, keep saying it, Jono, save me type of thing. Yep.
Save me.
What's Mum going to say? Okay, right. Well, what do you do with that, Jono?
It warms my heart.
Warms your heart. Okay, thanks, Mum. Go and sit down. You're sort of floating in and out over the next 40, 50 years, sort of thing. Whoops, and your corner's come undone. We'll put that back here. So, Pastor, all down to you. So, Jono's sort of got to this stage. Is Jono saved yet? Okay. So, he's reached year 18 of his 75 nominal year life. He's not saved yet. But a lot of influence has been taken away from Jono. So, Pastor, what are you going to say?
I'm going to take your hand and I'm going to walk beside you for the rest of your life.
Okay, thank you. Have a seat again. So, Jono, how's that? Is that nice?
Well, I mean, I'm still under the water.
Yes, still under the water. Okay.
Let him go.
Yep, that's all right. That's all right. Thanks, Wendy. You go and have a seat. That's wonderful. So, Jono is still here in his... He's been loved. He's been walked with. Love, I think, came again, etc. And Leanne, you told him something very important. So we talked before, did we not, last week, and this is no reflection at all, it's just an observation. We talked before about our simple one word, which was last week, Jesus. In the conversation about how to save Jono, how many times do we hear the name of Jesus spoken by our different players who weren't set up and have done a wonderful job, I might mention? Was that regular in their conversation? Not so much. It's the easiest thing to revert back. Sorry, John, are you doing okay there?
Yes.
Good, yep. Love. And it's a wonderful thing. That was one of the words suggested, and it's very important. But we must ground this in what the love of Jesus actually means. There is sin to be atoned for, and the salvation that he offers deals with that. But none of the messages that were given would save him. Now, I mentioned that after second 18 or year 18, three of those workers essentially are moving out, left down to the pastor or the ministry. And of course, there's other things that are going to be there. What percentage of people receive faith by age 18, if they're going to? What percentage of people come to faith in Jesus Christ by age 18 in the Western world? I know it's a little bit different.
1%.
1%? No, that's quite a bit higher than that.
12%.
No. No. Go up a bit more. Those that are going to come to faith, historically, that come to faith, how many of those come to faith in Jesus Christ before age 18? Sorry?
95%.
Yeah, 95%. It's about 80%. It's a very high figure. It might be higher than that. 80 to 90%. So we would emphasize then and say, what are we bothering with the key for? Why are we doing any ministry above 18? Because it's only such a small amount. It is a small amount, but there are those that we are reconnecting who made first decisions back at age 18. It's very specific what we're doing with the ministries here. But if we bear that in mind, John is not saved by age 18. Only 20%, or about 10 to 20% of those that haven't been saved. So when we study salvation, it starts to inform us about what we do. Now, poor John is still, you have a nice rest there? Yeah, late night, didn't you? So he's not doing too bad under there. But Jono has been loved, he's been looked after, he's been walked alongside, all of those wonderful things, but he's not saved. So at the end of the day, he's going to drown. So I'm going to just play the part of the pastor here. This used to be the seat I think they use for communion. Isn't it a beauty? So I'm going to sit here and we're going to have a wee talk with our unsaved chap down to here. So I'm representing a pastor or a Christian worker of any age, following on for age 18. So... So, John, how are you doing there, buddy?
I'm drowning.
You're drowning? Yeah. That's no good. So, have you been along to church recently?
Nah.
Well, you should get along there because there's good people there and they'll tell you what to do.
Okay. Join the youth group.
Join the... He's over 18 now, so he's a bit old for that. So, let's say he's... How old are you now, by the way?
25.
25. Okay, he's 25 now, so he's beyond, let's say, any age-related ministry. So I've suggested to him, a good suggestion, haven't I? He should get along to church. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
If he comes to church, will he get saved?
No.
Is everybody in this building saved because they came to church?
No.
Okay, you probably heard, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian anymore. And I know it's cliche than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I know that sounds silly, but that's the reality. Just by entering those doors, it would be wonderful that might be the case. The conviction of the Holy Spirit falls, and we pray for that. But he's still not a Christian. So John is still not saved. So I'm racking my brains thinking, how are we going to get this 25-year-old saved? So any suggestions? What are we going to do? Yes, at the back.
Preach Jesus.
Right, okay. Jono, you've heard about Jesus here?
Yeah,
what do you know about Jesus?
He died on the cross, something like that.
Because you know about him.
Sorry?
You know about him then. Do you know that Jesus exclusively saves your sins?
That's awesome. But yeah, I do know that.
You do know that? Your sins, knowing about him isn't the same as knowing him. Do you know that Jesus saved your sins if you choose to confess?
I know that that's an option.
You know that's an option? Is an option that you want to choose to take today?
Nah.
No, why is that?
Because I like my secular life.
You like your lifestyle. What aspect of your lifestyle do you like?
I like not having to follow any rules.
Okay. So I'm running out of my explanations and my responses to that. So what response am I going to make to Jono? He says he likes living his secular lifestyle. And in case you think we're making this up today... Remember a conversation with one of our youth and saying to him, what's going on with these guys that we saw at the start of the year, we're not seeing at the end? And he said, the reality is they like getting drunk more than they like hearing about Jesus. That's just the reality. So we've got to think about our response as soteriologists in studying this aspect. Now, hands waving at the back there. What am I going to say to Jono? Ask him if he's a good person. Are you a good person?
I think so.
You think so? Right, what do I say? Yes?
Ask him if he'd like to give his life to Jesus.
I think he said no because he likes the lifestyle he's got before, yeah. Yeah, he's quite happy living the way he is. Here's another thing we might say. You know you need Jesus.
Do I?
Do I? Oh, what do I say? Because I'm giving all the pat answers. Can you see the problem? You're thinking, Holy Spirit, help me. I'm trying to explain to him he needs to be saved, but he has no knowledge of his need to be saved. Yes, Nick?
Show him he's a sinner.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Oh, a bit harsh? Someone said a bit harsh? Is it a bit harsh telling him he's a sinner? Is that a little bit harsh?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, no? Where do we? So, a bit harsh saying he's a sinner, is that getting a little bit too, you know, hands up for a bit harsh? Okay, hands up that he needs to hear that. Hopefully that's every hand. Okay, so just while you're still resting down there, Jono, so walk up to walk up to a hospital, the ER department, if you've ever been there, you've broken something, etc. I walk in there, I've got a bone sticking out of my arm because I've tried to follow Nick down the mountain bike and track and I haven't been praying enough for protection. Bone sticking out of my arm, I walk in there and someone says, oh, you seem to be in a bit of pain there. Sit down and it'll come right in due course. And because it'll be very painful to set that arm. It'll actually be more painful to set the arm than it will be to leave it. And I say, well, I'm really not about pain. It's bad enough. I've got about enough in my life right now. I don't want any more pain. Now, how many doctors would we rate and go to again if they left the person at a medium level of pain without the extra bit that was needed to ultimately then be healed? We wouldn't rate a doctor like that at all. So our job as witnesses is to almost increase the pain short-term for the long-term gain. Now, I know that's putting it very simply. But we have to tell Jono that he's a sinner, which is what? What is the promise that the way people interpret that? The gospel is what? It's offensive to those that are being perished. Who wants to be told they're a sinner? When we were first told that, maybe we were told that in an environment where we understood it and we were told it well. But there needs to be that understanding. That, buddy, you're a sinner. So is that how you say it, Nick? Is that what you say?
No.
No. Okay, what would you say? How do you say it?
Use the Ten Commandments to show me a sinner.
Okay. So have you lied?
Yeah.
What's that make you?
A liar.
Have you stolen?
Yeah.
What's that make you?
Thief.
Have you used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
What's that make you?
Blasphemous.
A blasphemer. So you're a lying, cheating, blasphemer at heart.
Yeah.
Are you still a good person?
I guess not.
Where does that leave you in God's eyes?
I'm a sinner.
A sinner. What happens to sinners?
Going to hell.
Okay. Do you want to go to hell?
No.
Does that concern you?
Yes.
What do you want to do about it?
I want to be saved.
Okay. Then we would lead them in the salvation prayer. I know this is a skit we're doing for church's sake. Bill, very quickly.
Ask him, does he want to drown?
Ah.
Does he want to be saved?
Do you want to stay here in the cesspool and drown, or do you want to come out of it?
No, I'll come out.
You want to come out? Okay. And then we're bringing him out here, and he's saved, and the church is, yay, wonderful. Thanks, Jono. Okay, thank you very much. If we consider, obviously, a skit, and there's lots of things that can go backwards and forwards and wrong with my C that doesn't go up and down that well, understanding how quickly Jesus slips out of the equation, how quickly it doesn't seem to be that we're bringing him to the fore of what we're talking about. And understand that when we talk about Jesus saving, that is something that we must come to, not just saying Jesus saves, but explaining what he saves from. Remember the thing about us being amateur soteriologists today. What he saves him from, how he saves him, and how that is accomplished. So he's saved from sin, not saved from a different kind of life. Because it may well be, or in fact we understand, that life in abundance is what he promises us. And we might say that this sounds like a bit of a pipe dream. Who lives life in abundance? How can Jesus give me a better life than what I can plan myself? Jesus saves us from the tyranny of having to make all of life decisions on our own. If we hand it over to him, what he then says, thank you, I have all of your life. It's the life, the best life that you could have. But if we emphasize that without talking about sin and understanding the person's need for a saviour, what we find happens time and time again is people say, thank you, I'll take that good life that's promised, I'll have the benefits. But when it gets hard, people say after a while, you know what, I think this is a bit hard, I'm not so interested in Jesus saving me, I can do that myself, thank you very much. So I've said enough today, but understand how quickly Jesus slips from our conversation about salvation. And as the band just closes today, I want us to think about Jesus saves. Jesus exclusively saves your sins. Being able to explain that simply to someone and understanding their need for a saviour. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And last week someone said to me in closing, they said to me, I didn't know the answer to that question, but I figured it must be Jesus because Jesus is always the answer. And I know it's really cliche, but it's true. And if we say one thing, it's Jesus. If we say two things, it's Jesus saves. And could I encourage you to think and be equipped and be encouraged by what you might have seen in what we've done the last couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to look at three words and that'll finish our series. Let's pray. Father God, while I feel I haven't done it particularly well, I pray that we would take from this the importance of understanding that your salvation is central. It's not the biggest part by a long shot. That's your Lordship. Give us boldness to bring it back to you and to be prepared to offend. It just doesn't stack up in a PC world that what we have to bring is offensive, and more and more and more people are saying that is offensive, that's hate speech, that's this, that's that, etc. But we're not called to change our message. Yes, Lord, the delivery can be slightly different, but eventually we need to get to that. So Holy Spirit, in the way I prayed for favour for our prayers we prayed during communion, I pray for grace and favour on each one of us in this coming week and the conversations we have with others, to be able to lovingly but directly point out the person's position before you, Lord, that unless Jesus is Lord of their life and they have been saved, it does not bode very well for them at all in this life, to say nothing of the next. So give us boldness, Lord, give us courage, give us a joy as we go about this simple message that Jesus saves.